Good evening, and welcome to Boston University's World of Ideas. I'm Deborah Becker. Tonight, we have a lecture sponsored by the Elie Wiesel Center for Judaic Studies. Speaking will be Ilya Altman, director of the Center for Holocaust Research and Education in Moscow. Professor Altman's lecture is titled, The Holocaust in the Soviet Union, Unknown Pages. We begin with an introduction by Wiesel Center director, Professor Stephen Katz.
It's my pleasure today to introduce Professor Ilya Altman. I have a formal biography that says that he was born in Russia in 1955, that he studied history at Moscow State University Archival Institute, that from 1992 to 1992 he received his PhD from the Institute of History in the USSR. And you know, that wasn't always easy in those days. When they asked a Russian historian what he thought about to predict the past, he said, it's hard enough to predict the future. He said, it's hard enough to predict the past, because every time Stalin changed his mind, they had to rewrite the Great Russian Encyclopedia. So getting a degree in history was not a simple matter in the form of the Soviet Union. Since 1992, Professor Altman is the founder and co-chairman of the Russian Research and Educational Holocaust Center, and he also serves as vice president of the Interregional Foundation Holocaust. In 1992, he started teaching the Holocaust at the Jewish University of Moscow, the Maimonides Academy, and he's now professor and head of the Holocaust Department, and he's also a faculty member at the Center for Jewish Civilization at the Moscow State University. He's also written a number of important books, and recently he worked with Josh Rubenstein on the Unknown Black Book, a very important publication about what went on in the Soviet Union during the Holocaust. I also want to say about Dr. Altman that besides the formal study, what you have to know is that he was really quite heroic to take on the subject of Holocaust studies and Jewish studies at a time when it was not yet appropriate in the Soviet Union. So it took a lot of dignity, a lot of self-respect, a lot of awareness of who and what he was in order to do that. So I'm delighted to invite Dr. Altman to present a talk on the Holocaust in the Soviet Union, some unknown pages. Ilya?
Thank you very much, Stephen, for your introduction. Thank you very much for coming. And for me, it's really very pleasure to have a lecture here in this building, in this faculty, because Boston University and this faculty is very well known abroad and in former Soviet Union, especially in Russia. And 11 years ago, when Stephen Katz, Professor Katz, firstly came to Russia and held his brilliant seminar with Russian pedagogues from the state university who may be firstly receive the information how to teach Holocaust, what does it mean Holocaust, what is how important to know about the Holocaust. It was one of the first steps in my country to teach Holocaust at the university. And during this very hard seminar, not far from Moscow, Stephen finds the time to visit our center. It was very successful because it some sight strange in my country, somebody from abroad hold some seminar in what and not invited local professors in this seminar. But Stephen received information about our center, visited this center, and from this time we have very close relation, thanks to him and other person in this university, because the context that we hold in Moscow, our international context, have many partners. But Boston University is the main our partner in United States, and we're very glad if maybe next year also the best students from this university who wrote the paper about the Holocaust will be among the winners in Moscow. Maybe you know from your colleagues, both who was in the twice in Moscow, Michael and Jolin, each of them have some different adventures in Moscow. It's not easy trip traveling to Moscow. Maybe if Michael or Jolin will tell you on road about it, it will be very interesting. But I think the main experience of this international context, when the students from 12, 14 countries, including the countries from former Soviet Union, try to prepare in the papers about the lessons of the the Holocaust, about the history of the Holocaust, and have possibility to meet each other and gave their papers. And then we are published these papers in three volumes. Recently will be, very soon will be new volume published. And also Russian students was invited three times to headquarters of UNESCO, and in our newsletters I bring with me some newsletters in English that was published this year and 2 years ago. Who interested in this subject can find more information about it. So I think that my lecture and maybe will be like a new step of our cooperation. First of all, research cooperation between this university and our center. This center was established, as Stephen told, about 15 years ago. So we have the university last year, and maybe it was the first research and educational center in the Europe with the title of the Holocaust. It was my idea. It was yet in the Soviet Union in the middle 1991. And I tell you frankly, very rarely number of the researchers in my country this time not only they know the term Holocaust, I think nobody did not about it, but keep in the mind how too important to be involved in research and educational program in this subject. I don't think that maybe I am personally also will be involved in this field if I was successful exactly 20 years ago when our colleague from Israel, it's very precious that somebody from Israel now in this room, so it was the first team from Yad Vashem, headed the director of Yad Vashem, Dr. Yitzhak Arat, former Soviet partisan, former prisoners of the ghetto, and some other person visited Russian archives. I have the idea to find the documents from the archives of the State Extraordinary Commission about Nazi crime against the Jews. In this time, I have the position as the chief of department, State Archive, with a now very funny title, the State Archive October Revolution. So in this archive was preserved the main documents about Nazi crime during the Second World War. But I was ahead of the department. But only during the visit, our Israeli colleague, I was, it was like very big surprise for me when I find the files, more than 1,500 files from the Jewish Anti-Fascist Committee. For me, personally, it was very unusual. When I was a student, 20 years old, I have one special discipline about the public organization. I don't know why. I don't have this time some special Jewish feeling, but I would like to choose the subject about the Jewish Anti-Fascist Committee. I wrote in the memory Ilya Ehrenburg about the activity of this committee. But when I asked my professor, is it possible to write on this subject, I received answer no, because any articles, any book, any documents never was published this time in the middle 70. So when I found the files, many files of this Jewish about the activity of this committee, it was very big surprise for me. But more big surprise, it was among them 39 files with the title The Black Book. The history of the Black Book, and I'm very glad that today in this room also my friend and colleague Joshua Rubinstein, because the history of the Black Book, it's maybe like the symbol history of the memory about the Holocaust in the former Soviet Union. The Black Book, it was the volume of the evidence and documents that were prepared and edited two famous Russian writers, Vasily Grossman and Ilya Ehrenburg, during the war. Very important that this project was born together with American Jewish organization. And from American side, Albert Einstein was the head of the committee who should be wrote the introduction to the Black Book. This edition should be appeared as well as United States and the Soviet Union. But it's appeared in United States 1946 only like the volume of the documents, official documents from the Nazi side, no personal evidence or very rarely number of this evidence. But the volume that they should be preparing from the Soviet sites, and the leaders of the Jewish Anti-Fascist Committee have a dream that this volume will be published in 11 languages in the different countries, never was published in the Soviet Union. It was in the secret KGB archives before 1995, and I never listened that any books was twice like the main evidence on the two trials. These books was preparing for the Nuremberg trials, 1945. It's have a very specific influence to the fate of this volume, because editors preparing these books to the Nuremberg trials put away about 35 pages when was written about not Nazi crimes. For example, collaborants on Romanian crimes, on something else. It was go away because for Nuremberg trials they need only about the Nazi crime against the Jews. But in 1942, the same book was one like a main evidence during the trial against the leaders Jewish Anti-Fascist Committee in the USSR. 13 people was sentenced to the death only because this was Jewish leaders and most of them preparing the Black Book, like the symbol of the Jewish nationalism, of the Zionism ideas, so on. So these books was put to the secret archives, and we work together with the daughter Ilya Ehrenburg, Irina. She have a dream to publish not the full edition of the Black Book. In her personal archive was preserved the last printing materials, because this book should be printed and go to the publish house. So Irina have a book without, I think, 60, 70 very important pages. Why I mentioned that before the Nuremberg trial, it was put away about 35 pages. Why another 35 pages was go away before 1947? This time, Vasily Grossman, who was the main editor of this book when Ilya Ehrenburg go away from the special commission, literary commission that prepared this book, received the task, put away all pages that was the evidence, like the Jewish consciousness. All words in Yiddish or in Hebrew, or mentioned when the Jews before the death thinking about the God, something else was put away. So we see this is during the Soviet times, if these books will be published, and in this volume was really published 1980 in Israel, so it was not full edition. It was repeated also in United States 1981, but we can see that more important things not included in the full text of the Black Book, but not only. When I began my research together with my friends from Yad Vashem, it really gave me some impulse to be involved in the Holocaust research in the Soviet Union, and our first publication about the fate of the Soviet Jews during the Holocaust, about the history of the Black Book, was appeared during the perestroika. I found the many, many thousands evidence, letters, diaries that was not included by Ehrenburg and Grossman to the Black Book. I think Joshua Rubinstein added something about the valuability of these documents, but for me was clear that each of these documents that shown how not only the Nazi but local population was involved in the Holocaust, and how the Jews who survived, keeping in mind the attitude to the former neighbors, it was not possible to publish in the Soviet Union, because official Soviet propaganda this time have the idea that all Soviet people was together against the Nazi. I am sorry that only after 15 years, when this volume was firstly appeared in Russian, it was publication, mutual publication, State Archive of Russian Federation and Yad Vashem. It was published in Jerusalem, in Moscow, 1993. Only after 15 years, this volume appeared in English. Because, for my opinion, some books like Daniel Goldhagen, who mentioned about the Germany population, most of whom know about the Holocaust. This volume show the Holocaust on the territory of the Soviet Union was something another than like it had happened in the death camp on in Western Europe, because all events was on the eyes of the local population. The neighbors of Jew was not like the neighbors, so-called neighbors. They was involved in these events. Sometimes some of them helped to Jews, many of them not helped. Some of them during the beginning of the Holocaust maybe don't think the fate of the Nazi persecution also will be have relation to them. So now I would like to tell you that the, in the Soviet historiography, the subject Holocaust was absent. It was clear because the Jewish Anti-Fascist Committee was destroyed. Any monuments was not erected. Very rarely when the word Jews or ghetto or something in Yiddish was appeared on the monument. When it had happened, it was only on the Jewish cemeteries. Maybe only one example was in Minsk, in the place where many Jews was killed, so-called place in Russian Yama. The monument was erected in 1946. And recently, one of my students, who was also the winners of the contest, finds the materials about the fate of three Jewish activists who have the idea to establish these monuments. They was put to the prison and was killed in 1942 during the Soviet repression against the Jewish activists. So it was very dangerous to erect the monuments. Sometimes when this document on these monuments was appeared with six corner stars, after the decision of the Soviet authorities, they received only five corner star on these monuments. I don't think that the bureaucrats who rise this idea know one of the unusual methods of the Nazi propaganda of the territory of the former Soviet Union. Part of my lecture will be devoted to the subject that not so well known and have very big influence in the Soviet Union. I think everybody from you knows the typical symbol how Nazi marks the Jews everywhere in the Europe. It was a yellow star or was a blue star here on the hand, some other kinds, but on the territory of the Soviet Union, in some region of the Soviet Union, near Smolensk, in Kaluga, so on, it was really yellow star, but five corner star. Why? Holocaust on the territory of the Soviet Union, that maybe before the beginning of the 90s, was like the closed subject, not only the Soviet Union, but if you take any books that was published in the United States, Hilberg, Davidovich, so on, you find rarely pages about the Holocaust in the Soviet Union. Not only because the archival materials was like a secret materials, because part of this materials was published in the volumes on the Nuremberg trials, some another edition, it was a lot of the memories that was appeared in the different countries. I think very long in the public opinion, the symbol of the Holocaust was the death camp. What had happened on the territory of the Soviet Union only recently, and since by research, first of all, Dr. Arad and some my colleague from former Soviet Union, now we can mention that the Holocaust as a mass annihilation of the Jews was began on the territory of the Soviet Union after June 1941. I many times mentioned the Soviet Union, and sometimes I ask myself, if any sense or reason today speaking about the country that today not existed on the political map. When today seven former republics of the Soviet Union, three Baltic states, Russia, Ukraine, Moldova and Belarus, independent countries, each of them have their own history of the Holocaust, the research, teaching Holocaust, so on. So this country not existed. Why I try to tell to you today about the history of Holocaust in the Soviet Union in the border of June 1941, June 22nd, 1941. Because, for my opinion, without the research, what had happened After the war between Germany and Soviet Union began, what had happened with the Jews? How the final solution, development after invasion Germany on the territory of the Soviet Union, without these events, not possible to understand what does it mean Holocaust at all? If the Holocaust have any reason for the Nazi policy, or it was the understanding for us decision to destroy all people, all nations, without any special reason. If you take recently published books, we can find different attitude to the reason why Germany began the kills on the territory of the Soviet Union. Why the mass killing began on the territory of Soviet Union since June 1941. For example, Saul Friedlander, in his recently published book, wrote that the killing of the Jews was not the special aim of the Germans, Hitler's Germany. It was maybe like a tool that was very important for the Germans during this invasion, because it was a struggle against the Soviet system, and the declaration that it was a struggle against Judeo-Bolshevism. Now you understand why the symbol of the Judeo-Bolshevism became five-corner yellow star. It was not at all territory of the Soviet Union. It was maybe was only some regions of Russian Federation, but it was a very clear symbol of the Nazi propaganda, who declares that the Jews, first of all, men of Jews, this is like the main strong supporter of the Soviet system. Another side, Dr. Arad in his books and articles mentioned that the killing Jews was a special task of the Germany, one of the very important political tasks, and was declared by Nazi, was put in the some orders for Einsatzgruppen and so on. So it was like the special aims of the Nazi, the invasion of the territory of the Soviet Union. For my opinion, it's like was both sides of this problem. For one hand, really, for the Germans, the main idea was to destroy the Soviet system. In their propaganda, when they invited to the territory of the Soviet Union, of course, they keep in their mind that the Soviet citizens not wait them like liberators. It was necessary to explain all local population that we came like the liberator from the Jews and from the communists. In the Nazi propaganda, it was the same. Jews and communists, Judeo-Bolshevism, it was the symbol of the Soviet system, Nazi crimes, so on, and mentioned in the propaganda. So not only annihilation of the Jews, but all the persecution, was all measures that was from the first days and weeks when each Russian or Ukrainian, Belarusian city was occupied. It was not, does not matter. Very interesting that in historiography was maybe 15 years ago when our documents was closed yet, some kind of the discussion. For example, very famous professor from Jerusalem, Mordechai Alshurin, mentioned that the fate of the Jews on the territory that was annexed by the Soviet Union in the 1939-40s was another than the fate of the Jews in so-called old bodies that was the Soviet territory before the September 1931. But when we know the history of the Holocaust, we understand that the fate of the Jews in Lithuania, on Latvia, on Western Ukraine or Eastern Poland, that it was 1931 but became Western Ukraine 39, it was the same. Only one example. For me, it's very interesting. I took part in a big discussion when professor from Princeton University, Janusz Gross, presented his very famous book, Neighbors. It was some discussion with his Polish colleagues about the fame Jews in Jedwabno. You know this example, one of the more famous example, how the local population without any German assistance killed Jews. And usually then mentioned that had happened on the Polish territory. It's right. But this territory, in the June 1949, since the September 1939, it was a Soviet territory. So these events were the one of the many examples, as well as in Lithuanian little shtetls or in Ukrainian little shtetls, when the neighbors, sometimes without any assistance of the Nazi, killed the Jews. Not all the Jews. It was not the Holocaust, like total annihilation. But many Jews during these pogroms was killed, like in Yudvabno. So if you're not keeping in mind which territory it was in the June 1941, we not understood the many events of the Holocaust. And Nazi propaganda, keeping in mind when it uses terror against the Jews, they have some special reason. Because the Nazi occupation policy was like terroristic policy. Again, all population who tried to protest it against any Nazi orders. But they need some example how easy everybody will be killed who is against the Nazi. They declare that all Jews against the Nazi, so we came like liberator, so we would like to kill the Jews. And nobody protested. If you understand why. Because the Soviet Union, before 1941, it was the country that remembered it very well, 37 years old, Gulag events, and also on the territory that was annexed by the Soviet Union 1939-40, on all these territories was a real terror, and everybody who protested was killed. So one regime changed another regime. It was one victim, became new victims. On the first days of this policy, first weeks of this policy, most of local population don't keep in the mind that this policy, next step will be again of them. It was very interesting. Why so long the Soviet propaganda mentioned everybody knows during the war who lived on the occupied territory? How many people lived there? About 70 million staying on the territory that was occupied by Nazi. Among them, about 3 million Jews lived staying on this territory for some reasons. Most of them don't know about the Nazi policy. And really, before the invasion on the territory of the Soviet Union, it was ghetto in the Poland. Some Polish Jews was killed, but it was not the politics of the total annihilation of the population. And I think the Soviet mass media played a bad role in the information of the local population. Also, Joshua Rubinstein wrote a very important book about the Ilya Ehrenburg. He's my favorite author. But recently I wrote his articles that was published in the main Soviet newspapers in the October 1941. Ilya Ehrenburg have the very pragmatic idea to involve as possible Russian people to the struggle against Nazi. So he stressed, as many other authors, that the main aim of the Nazi to destroy Russian people. And he wrote about some example. For example, Nazi wrote that they going to kill the Jews. But Ehrenburg wrote, I was in Berlin in 1940 and I saw so-called useful Jews who are living in Berlin. Only these two words, in October 1941. I think the many Jews who maybe keep in the mind to escape, but who was not communist, was not in the Komsomol, was not the Soviet activist, after these articles decide maybe really we can stay on this territory. I don't have the idea to excuse Ilya Ehrenburg in these events. He have some other, it was important article this time too, because the situation in the front was very bad, and he wrote about the many crimes of Nazis against other population. But what had happened on the occupied Soviet territory? Why so important when we're speaking about the Holocaust in the Soviet Union in the borders on the June 2nd, 1941? Because the number of the victims, without this answer on this question, we cannot understand answer it on the question. When you see in the different museum different figures of the Nazi victims, for example, in Lithuania, you can find in Yad Vashem one figure, in another in Berlin Memorial, another in the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, third figures. Why? Because
In the June 1941, in Lithuania was living about 250,000 Jews. But when today capital of Lithuania, Vilnius, was the Polish city before 1931. So if you will be put the number of these victims to the Poland, we will receive another figures. It in many another examples, according to the Eastern Territory, Eastern Poland, before the September 1931. So this research is very important and should be understanding these changes when we're speaking about the number of the victims. I mentioned that the 70 million Soviet civilians still living on the occupied territory. One of the main secrets in modern Russian historiography, I especially try to open all handbooks for the students of the university, for the handbooks in the school, that mentioned about the number of the Soviet victims during the Second World War. Today, the official number 27 million, including the number of the Soviet soldiers who was killed, prisoners of the war, so on. You can find very fantastic figures about the victims of the partisan. I know very well that the, during the Soviet time, in our historiography, it was the number like 1 million members of the partisan movement. For modern researchers mentioned that it's more high numbers than it was in reality, but okay, 1 million partisans. When you open handbooks for the secondary school, you find the number of the victims between partisans, 5 million. From 1 million, 5 million was killed. And no mentioned about the victims between civilians. It's like a little big secret, only in some academic volumes you can find the numbers. About 7 million civilians was killed by Nazis. About 7 million civilians. It's very big number. Any other country, including Poland, not existed so big number of these victims. I know the sources of these figures. It was the statement, Extraordinary Commission, that mentioned 6,600,000 Soviet civilians that was killed by Nazis in 1946. These figures firstly appeared in the documents. 40% of these civilians were Jews. It's very important. Today, after the research, Dr. Arad, some of my colleagues, the number of the Jews who was killed Nazi was killed on the territory of the Soviet Union between 2.5 million to 2,800,000 Jews that was killed by Nazi. So, you know, between 6 million of the victims of the Holocaust, this number about more than about 40% was killed on the territory of the Soviet Union, who was the Soviet citizens in the June 1941. But also, it's very important, it's very rarely mentioned in the historiography, in the West historiography, then that during 1941, the territory of the Soviet Union was a special place for mass killing the Jews everywhere from the Europe. Before death camps was established in Poland 1942, the Jews from Germany, from Czechoslovakia, from Hungary, from Romania, from other places were moved off the territory of former Soviet Union to the Western Front. What would happen with them, nobody knows. The member of the family thinking that maybe they was involved in some work, so on. But they was killed. It was the three centers on the territory former Soviet Union in Minsk, in Kaunas, and in Riga, where most of these Jews was killed immediately. Some of them was put in the ghetto on the territory former Soviet Union. If you're speaking about the ghetto, it's also interesting. On the territory of Poland, the Jews was put to the big city, mostly. But on the territory former Soviet Union, it was established more than 800 ghettos. It was not, most of them was not like the big ghetto in Poland, like in Warsaw, like in Lodz, with some Jewish, everybody was a Jewish committee, Judenrat, or some special organization. Some of them, most of them have Jewish police, for example, but so big structure, Jewish systems, like in big ghetto in the Poland, not existed. But anyway, this ghetto was established like the place where Jews was gathering together, and very soon was killed. But in many places, I think more than 150 ghettos have activity more than 1 year. So in this ghetto, Jews have the possibility to escape and so on. And I would like to continue my idea that the Jews, not only was the big number of the Soviet Jews was a victims of the Holocaust, the Soviet Jews was the first victims of the Nazi and their alliance on the territory of former Soviet Union. It's very important that during the first year of the war, most, about 90% of the civilians who were killed were Jews. So it was very important Nazi policy. They show other population about the Nazi terror on the occupied Soviet territory. Not only the idea was to kill the Jews, for Nazi, and why during the first year maybe it was very little number example of the resistance of the activity, underground movement on the occupied Soviet territory. Of course, the main reason it was the situation on the front, because Nazi troops very quickly moving to the Moscow, and the political feelings, it was not good for the resistance. It may be the main reason. But for other reason, Germany occupants use the Jewish problem try to involve the local population to the collaboration. For example, the idea to move the Jews to the ghetto. Of course, it was bad for the Jews, but they leave their houses, all the rooms in the cities, and these rooms and houses receive the person who was the victims of the Soviet authorities, first of all, then other population. So when the contribution Nazi received from the Soviet Jews, million and a million rubles. Why? Why was necessary for Nazi Soviet rubles? Because very soon the occupied Reichsmark will be on this territory. But when they came in each city, then declare, you will be receive your salary, you will be receive your pension, social assistance, so on, in rubles. But where is these rubles? Soviet banks was very successful and evacuated all money. So was necessary to gather in this money and other things from the Jews and give this money to other population. So it was the politics, economic politics also, that tried to use this situation to, if not involved other population on the Germany side, but became they like neutral to their crimes against the Jews. But very soon, from the June 1941, when, first of all, some events after the battle in the Moscow, and also partisan movements was rise, and also Germany authorities became to take use to the Germany, it was not like local population. After that, many person protested against this policy, was involved in the partisan band and underground movement, and the repression continued against them. So we are speaking very often about the non-precedent and universal figures of the Holocaust. You can see on the territory of the Soviet Union this example. The first victims of the Nazi policy were Jews, but they were not the last victims. Other population, the same number, more big number of the non-Jewish population, Soviet civilians, was killed. It's very interesting. Today, in the public opinion, why so difficult for us to bring this information to our teachers, to our students, to our politics? Because during the war, today nobody remembered it, that the Jews was in the first year the main victims. It was a Nazi special policy against the Jews. Everybody remembered it, and his own family was the victims of the Nazi, also on occupied territory. So the question recently in our center working the volunteer from the Germany, special action that's for remembrance this Nazi victims. And this young man, he was born in Russia. It's very important because I don't think that somebody who was born in German raised this question during our students' conference. Why is necessary to build a special monument to the Jews in your country? It was so many other victims. So young generation in the Germany, as well as Russia, today raise this question. So this memory about the Holocaust is very important. Only one maybe symbolic example. You know that after the decision, Organization of United Nations, January 27 became the International Holocaust Day. Which army liberated Auschwitz? It was Russian army. As well as Majdanek was liberated Russian army. But any handbooks, any special list of the so-called important dates to the victory day, not mentioning the liberation Auschwitz like some important events in the Soviet history of the Second World War. You understand, in our country have not National Holocaust Remembrance Day. 26 countries in the Europe, including Estonia and including Albania. Albania have no relation to the liberation Auschwitz. No Albanians, as I know, was in Auschwitz. Maybe I don't know about it. But anyway, for Russia, it's very important. Auschwitz, where 15,000 Soviet prisoners of war was the first victims of the gas chambers. When our army liberated Auschwitz, with which circumstances? It's a very interesting story. We published the memory general who liberated Auschwitz. He met with Elie Wiesel in the 17th years, and after this meeting, as he wrote in his memories, he changed his position about the fate of the Jews in the Auschwitz. And he wrote in his memories that our army did not receive any information about these camps before 2 days of the liberation. Only January 25, the Marshal Konev, who was the head of the Ukrainian front, received this information. And we mentioned that this general make a very important decision. He put special tank army to the against SS bands and helped to liberate Auschwitz. 7,000 prisoners was liberated. Among them was Otto Frank, who was put to the Soviet hospital through the Soviet territory. He was from Odessa sent to Marcel and came go home and find the diary of his daughter. So a diary Anna Frank appeared because this gentleman was liberated by Soviets in Auschwitz. It's very interesting. When the official announcement about Auschwitz was published in the Soviet press, then no mention the Jews. Then mentioned the representative of 27 countries, but not mentioned Jews last a victim. So it was the policy, special question about the Kremlin and the Holocaust. If you will be have some questions, I maybe will give the answer on this subject. Sometimes in the Soviet newspaper appeared the articles, and Ilya Ehrenburg, one was of the author who wrote sometimes about the fate of the Jews. But in principle, when was possibility non-mention Jews as a victims of the Nazi, this information not appearing during the war, disappeared after the war, and during the 40 years, not appeared in the historical research, and very rarely to appear it in the volumes of the historical documents in Russia. And today, this is very interesting situation in the modern Russian historiography, as well as in historiography in Ukraine and Belarus today. About 700 books, memories, diaries, documents about the Holocaust was published now in Russian languages, on Ukraine and Belarusian languages, was published also in Baltic states. But in the general historiography of the Second World War, Holocaust not existed. So it's not, we keep in the mind that it was political reason. Soviet regime would like to speak about the Jews as a victims because it was the Israel like an enemy, Zionist movement, so on. But today, after 15 years, after the all archives was open, when our country declared the principle of liberty, so on, and why it not appeared? today, from I think it's maybe not only one answer on this question, but it's like a psychology answer also. In the feeling of our researchers, of our teachers, this is information that all Soviet citizens was victims of the Nazi is very, very strong. In this situation, when we received now hundreds of the teachers, many young students who are teaching Holocaust, who involved in our memorial events, some our teacher built the monuments in the honor of the Jewish victims in the little Russian city, we now began a very important program, memorial program, and keeping the mind to build monument about Jewish victims in each place in Russia where Jews was killed. One little example. 23 Russian regions was occupied by Nazi. About 140,000 Jews was killed on the territory Russian Federation in modern body. But only 25 monuments was built. So we have very big field for the activity, and I think that the last project, Encyclopedia Holocaust on the territory former Soviet Union, we are working together with many researchers, and Professor Katz is a member of our international committee, and I think in the maybe beginning of the next year, this encyclopedia will be published in Russian. It included the articles about 2,500 places where more than 100 Jews was killed. So on this example, you can see that the old territory of the former Soviet Union that was occupied Nazi was like a Babi Yar in Kiev, a symbolic place where Jews was killed. Maybe very important important things when we are speaking about the Holocaust on the territory of the former Soviet Union, as this information only appear it now, I'm finished. Mm-hmm. 1 minute, maybe it will be like the question. Not only Nazi Germany killed the Jews on the territory of former Soviet Union. Romanian troops, Hungarian troops, now we receive the information the Finland troops in Belarus killed the Jews. And for example, Romanian troops during the first months of the war, signed the June to August 1941, killed more Jews than Nazi. So this is some kind of the new information, and our research also tried to give the answer on the base on new sources on this question. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a story that has either a simple meaning or even an end. It flows into our own time in deep issues of morality and politics and international justice. I'd like to give everybody a chance, especially the students who are here, a chance to ask questions. So we'll just open it up from the floor.
My name is Mikhail Khazin. I am a writer. The Unknown Black Book. Does it exist in Russia, in the Russian language?
As I mentioned, we published it in Russian publishing house text 1993 with the title Moscow and Jerusalem. It was published only 1,000 copies. Unfortunately, it not reached many libraries outside Russia, and only now translated in English. It first international languages it was translated. But Black Book, that firstly complete edition was published 1993, was translated in French, in Germany, in Italy, in Portugal language, which is and also published 5 years ago in English.
My name is Paula Caballo. I'm from Israel. I have a question to Dr. Altman. You referred in your speech about the fact that actually some of this information is available to us due to the opening of the archives. Do you have any estimations of other archives that should be opened or that are not available to the public as yet and could have information that would shed new light on what happened in the former Soviet Union and other places as well?
I give you only one example. January 29, it was 65th anniversary, when in the city Velish, not far from Smolensk, maybe 500 kilometers from Moscow, it was the anniversary, the events when about 400 Jews was burned. And maybe the first fact of the when the Jews was born on the territory Russian Federation. The son of one of the victims tried to receive the information from the KGB archive about these events, because in 1960 it was a trial against four collaborants. Three of them was sentenced to the death. In the Soviet Union, all times after the war, everybody who killed Jews, non-Jews, was sentenced to the death. And one of them received 15 years. It was this time more biggest years that it possible to receive. All information about this trial was published in the local press with all name of these perpetrators. But when the son of the victims asked KGB to show this material, he refused. No. Why? Because today in the Russian Federation existed the law about the 70 years not possible to read the documents when you can find some information that maybe will be bad for you personally. So our laws keep in the mind that the son or daughter of these perpetrators will be feeling bad if the son of the victims receive information what their parents did. You see, this information was public in open press, but today not possible to receive this information. It's very bad, because in many this trial that was in the Soviet Union very soon after the war, like the evidence, was the list of the Jews who was killed. Now we know that very rarely in the Material State Extraordinary Commission you can find the names of the victims. Maybe only 8% of the Jews who was killed mentioned in these documents. But during the trial, it was necessary some documents. And these documents put to the KGB archives, and today we cannot receive it in Russia. This is difference, because in Ukraine, in Baltic states, the same situation in Belarus. All other countries from the former Soviet Union give access to these documents.
Thank you very, very much to Professor Altman, and thank you all for coming. Good evening. Thank you very much.
This is WBUR. You've been listening to Professor Ilya Altman, director of the Center for Holocaust Research and Education in Moscow. Professor Altman's lecture was titled "The Holocaust in the Soviet Union, Unknown Pages." We began with an introduction by Professor Stephen Katz, director of the Elie Wiesel Center for Judaic Studies, which sponsored tonight's lecture. For a CD of Boston University's World of Ideas, call 1-800-909-9287. You may also go to our website, WBUR.org, to hear archived editions of this and all other WBUR programs. Tonight's program was produced by Mike Toda with help from Jared Mooney. Our web producer is Angel Cazelli. The executive producer for Boston University's World of Ideas is Peter Lydodes. I'm Deborah Becker. Thanks for joining us.